Hi there, thanks for checking in. We're certainly living in some strange times right now, and quite frankly, we could all do with a bit of a pick-me-up. So my name's Miles. I work for Team Bath, which is the family of all things sport at the University of Bath. And I'd just like to share with you my own personal experiences about how the good old-fashioned bicycle, how it's shaped my life for the good, and hopefully it's going to get me through this this nasty old pandemic. So give it a listen. Four short, punchy podcasts, 5 to 10 minutes long each, that's all. And you never know, it might transform your life as well. Thanks for listening and stay safe. Come on, Miles. Come on, you've got this. Don't give up now. There's the top. Come on. Hello, everybody. So if you've made it this far, I assume you've listened to my first two podcasts. The big question I have for you now is, have I done a number on you? Have I worked my magic? Wahaha! Are you in? You're going to go riding? Good. I'm going to take that as a resounding yes. So now you're chomping at the bit to get on your wheels and get out into the countryside. This realisation, though, might be a little bit daunting for the very, very first time. But quite frankly, it doesn't need to be. So I just want to run over a few things you should consider before you go out for the first time. Now, that bicycle of yours, if you've had to dust it down, if it's not been used for some time, it's probably going to need a bit of TLC. So the first thing I suggest you do is check over the tyres. Do they look roadworthy? Is the tread, is it worn? Do they need replacing? Are there any sort of bits of gravel or glass or anything that needs to be kind of unpicked? What about the pressure of the tyres? Okay, get your pump out, have a look on the side of the tyre. There'll be a little indentation referring to the pressure or the maximum pressure it needs to be at, and get those tyres pumped up. How about the chain? It's probably going to need a bit of lubrication. And of the gears, spin the wheels, try the gears out, make sure they're all functioning as well. Now, if you're unsure about any element effectively of bicycle maintenance, etc., there's lots and lots and lots of how-to videos to demystify this online. But if you're unsure and still feeling a little bit unconfident, it might be that your local bike shop is open as well. And if so, pop it in for a service and get that had a look at. Now, the other thing is, when you go out for the first time, there's always the chance that you might get a puncture. It doesn't happen very often, particularly if your tyres are in a good shape. But I'd always recommend a spare inner tube or patches for that, and take your bicycle pump with you and have it potentially stored in the back pocket on your cycle jersey. I make reference to the back pocket. Cycle jerseys do have these storage pockets, cargo pockets, effectively for doing things like that, a mobile phone, a snack bar, a packet of tissues. No one wants to see any snot rockets out on the road. Just kind of wipe your nose and stuff like that. Keep yourselves aesthetically clean. Alternatively, a backpack or something like that, if you don't have one of those jerseys, will work equally well. Now, something that I deem to be absolutely critical, it's not the law, but I deem it to be critical, is wearing a helmet. And this isn't just children, this is for adults as well. Make sure that the helmet fits well on your head and it's nice and tight and secure and comfortable. It may not look as sexy, although I do think cycle helmets look much, much better these days, but it potentially could save your life if you come off. And believe me, over the years, I've certainly used up a number of my lives, okay? So I definitely wouldn't go out without a cycle helmet. Now, what happens if actually you have a look at your bike and you feel that it's too old, it needs replacing, or perish the thought, you don't actually own a bike, or maybe you just fancy buying something a little bit sexier, in which case, good for you. So let's talk about the options that are available for you. The one I would generally always recommend is your local bike shop. Okay, this is always a good starting place. Bike shops, it's getting harder and harder for them over the years competing with the internet. And it's going to be even tougher for them as well post-coronavirus. So I think it's a really nice thing to support your local bike shop. Go in. They can talk you through the different options, the different styles of bikes, the different genres available to you. Make sure it fits well for you as well. And if you purchase the bike, you'll get a free service after a period of time. And it's nice to have that sort of dialogue with them as well, so that you can periodically take your bike back and get generally good advice for the future. Alternatively, of course, you can go online, and there's lots of good online retailers that you can purchase bikes from and probably save a little bit of money, dare I say. Cycle to Work scheme was launched a number of years ago, and this is a really good initiative for you to potentially, pending your employer and how they work, to purchase your bike through the employer and the Cycle to Work scheme, and you will save money on VAT, national insurance, and you can spread the cost of the bike over a number of years. And I've certainly taken advantage of that on a number of occasions. And then the last one, of course, is going online again, but through auction houses, that sort of thing. Now, because the Cycle to Work scheme makes what would ordinarily be considered to be quite expensive bikes much more affordable, the consequence is that the resale of bicycles can actually be an absolute steal. And if you're willing to look around, and I probably spend at least half an hour on eBay every single day and other auction sites as well, you can get some real bargains, okay? And I've made some impulsive purchases over the years. So that's definitely worth having a look at. Now, I would say now, it's going to come down in terms of the type of bike that you need, a personal choice for you. So what I want to do is I just want to navigate you through some of my purchase decisions over the years, and then maybe you can use that as a bit of a template to decide where you want to start off with this. So when I first moved to Somerset a number of years ago, this is when I first started sort of cycling more intensely. And I went to my local bike shop and they actually, they asked me what I wanted to use it for, and it was predominantly for commuting. And they recommended a hybrid bike for that particular purpose. I actually, however, wanted to go for a race bike. I always had watched the Tour de France over the years, the romance of that particular activity, the beauty of the bike with the drop handlebars, the geometry with the three kind of triangles, etc. And I wanted to feel part of that. So irrespective of their advice, I wanted to get myself a red bike, and that's exactly what I did. And I loved it. It had an aluminium frame. And I went on many adventures, not just commuting to work. I cycled to France with my brother-in-law and created real memories. But after a couple of years, as I started getting more and more into cycling, I decided actually that I wanted to upgrade the frame from aluminium. So I sold the bike, which was heart-wrenching because I built up real rapport with it. And I bought myself a carbon frame bike. So this was lighter. It was stiffer, it looked sexier, and it was kind of a little bit more sort of space age in terms of the material and the aesthetic as well. And that was fabulous. But then after another couple of years, I realized actually that I was really getting into this and things were getting serious, and I wanted to get myself a super bike. So this was a bike now that suddenly, dun dun dun, the purchase price, we're talking about a few thousand pounds, which is going to sound scary to a number of you. But so I now had this position that I had this amazing bicycle, something more closely aligned with what the professionals might ride. But because of its the expense, I would only ride it on dry days, nice weather days. So I needed a second bike. So I retained the carbon frame bike for my all year round riding. So now I've got two bicycles, starting to take up a bit of space in the house. More recently, I decided to purchase a cyclocross bike. So this is a bicycle that would enable me to kind of go on some trails, some towpaths, a little bit of flirting with kind of off-road cycling. In essence, it looked like a road bike, but it had kind of more robust tyres with kind of grippier wheels. So this started to kind of give me the opportunity to almost go anywhere in some respects. And if I'm honest now, perish the thought, if I could only have one bicycle, I know it sounds awful, it would be a sort of a cyclocross bike or an adventure bike, a gravel bike. They're all sort of in that same sort of genre, that sort of go anywhere type of bicycle. Of course, many of my friends actually own mountain bikes, which kind of gives them a real full-on sort of off-road experience. I haven't gone there yet, but that's certainly on my horizon. Another bicycle I purchased fairly recently, and you can see where this is going now, is a steel-framed, what I would refer to a heritage bike. This is something that looks much more like the sort of bikes that Eddie Merckx, professional riders from yesteryear, would have ridden in the 1960s, the 1970s. And it just looks a thing of beauty. I think now that I'm middle-aged, I'm really starting to appreciate this sort of bicycle. And this is a bike that I want to have for the rest of my days. It's a beautiful Italian-made Colnago bicycle. Another bike I've had in the last year or two, fold-up bike, a Brompton. I was always thought that these bikes looked a bit kind of quirky, not really for me, but I've now really started to understand the beauty of the mechanics of it, the fact that it can fold away, you can pop it under your desk, you can pop it in the back of your car easily, you can go on the train, you can cycle to a coffee shop, fold it up and store it in the corner. It's just so versatile. And the other thing with fold-up bikes is as you're riding along, it's much more of a upright, sit-up-and-beg type sort of position. So you're kind of going at a slightly slower speed, but enjoying the countryside and the vistas afforded to you. So I certainly would probably always have a fold-up bike now in my locker for the rest of my days. The other day, crikey, I even saw someone riding along the road on a penny farthing. And so maybe I'll get one of those at some stage. So you can really go to, the only limitation I have now on terms of bike purchases is the space I have in the house, because I've got bicycles in virtually every room now. Maybe not the bathroom, but that gives me an idea. I have got a sneaky feeling that I might have a cellar underneath my my lounge at home. And if I can unearth that, that needs to be my, now we're in lockdown, that needs to be my next big project. Because if I can find that cellar, then it suddenly opens up a world of opportunity to purchase a whole new cohort of bicycles. I told you that this is a dangerous game, a sting in its tail. It's going to hit you financially, this addiction. So the last thing I want to say to you really is etiquette out on the road. It's always nice to acknowledge other riders. But importantly, at the moment with social distancing, if you're riding along and you see someone walking along the side of the road or running or something like that, is try and give them that space. It's important to give them that 2 meters of space, which probably means you're going to have to look over your shoulder, see what oncoming traffic is behind you, indicate, pull on out, give them that wide berth, acknowledge the runner, the rider. Okay, it's a nice thing to do, or the pedestrian. Acknowledge the car as well. Thank them for your appreciation of giving you time to make the necessary maneuver. And I just think that's a really nice gesture. The last thing is just actually giving smiles and waves and stuff like that to other people who are enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the countryside, enjoying the benefits of cycling. And if you see someone coming towards you and they're on a fold-up bicycle, and maybe they've got a copy of a Tintin annual underneath their arm, give them a big beaming smile and give them a chirpy wave, okay? And never know, it could be me. Thanks for listening, guys. Stay safe. Happy riding. If you enjoyed today's podcast, check out the last instalment where you'll find out how cycling can bring you together as a family unit, the joys of professional cycling, plus a little anecdotal tale to warm the cockles of your heart to finish off with. Guys, thank you very much for listening. Happy riding and stay safe.